we want to make certain that safety is possible and that women and their children facing homelessness as a result of violence no longer have to live in fear.
Hey there, I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to Prairie Beats,
our weekly news podcast from Prairie Public. What is happening this week, Danielle?
Well, lots of stuff for sure, but something we do need to talk about is a story that we have reported on before here on the pod, the Continuum of Care Program grants through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. And we talked about those late last fall and then over the holiday season. There's been an update.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. HUD had pretty much declined to renew those grants, and that left a lot of service providers empty-handed trying to figure out what the heck to do next.
Yes, a judge ended up ruling that HUD was actually not allowed to do what they did, and so that was good. Now, these grants go out to a number of different places across the country and locally here in North Dakota as well. And I've been speaking to Aaron Prochnow routinely about what's been going on.
Aaron Prochnow, CEO of YWCA.
So she found out this week, yesterday in fact, that two of their COC grants they were waiting on are going to be renewed. One of their big advocates in Washington, D.C. has been Senator John Hoeven. He is a member of the Senate Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Committee, and he's been in a lot of contact with YWCA specifically and other places about these grants.
So for YWCA, that means two of our three annual renewal grants should be renewed shortly.
Yeah, I do know a lot of women and children really rely on these programs, so that's excellent news, Danielle.
Yeah, so the program has awarded $450,000 to two organizations in North Dakota. The YWCA specifically has two programs that they were waiting for grants on. Their transitional housing program is receiving $225,284. And then their supportive housing program is receiving $155,258.
That's 20 units of supportive housing serving somewhere between 60 and 70 vulnerable individuals and children. About 60% are kids living with their parents. And so that means that their safe, stable housing is preserved for another year.
Another $83,561 is being sent to the Abused Adult Resource Center in Bismarck.
Well, that's very good news on that front. I mean, it doesn't sound like a massive amount of money, but hey, every bit helps. And without that money, certainly there was a lot of struggle. Now, Danielle, if I remember correctly, transitional and supportive housing basically just became, well, it dropped off the cliff as far as what HUD wanted to prioritize. Am I recalling that correctly?
Yeah, pretty much. So getting these grant renewals has had to have been a concerted effort on the part of providers, but also lawmakers. Prochnow says she's been very grateful to Senator Hoeven specifically for the work he's been doing, kind of rattling the cages out there in Washington about it, being like, you know, these places count on these funds, they need them, and we get all the press releases from the congressional delegation as well. So I've been seeing that from Hoeven's office. He spent some time here back in North Dakota meeting with these providers and then got some language written into legislation that does require the funding to go through. Prochnow says these two grants are typically renewed on January 1st and then the other one on March 1st. And a third grant for YWCA is due to be renewed on September 1st. And Prochnow says they're kind of still waiting to see what happens with that specific one. Additional reviews for these COC grants are now underway. So YWCA and other service providers in the state are in a holding pattern waiting for those to get approved.
We absolutely can celebrate the fact that these were renewed. In a typical year, Danielle, you wouldn't even be talking about this because these happen more automatically and behind the scenes. And so I'm hopeful that organizations like ours with really critical service areas don't have to continue fighting at this level to simply do what I think what most Americans would believe in, and that's investing in agencies like ours that are on the front lines of community level work and contributing to the communities we all want in America.
Yeah, I really agree with her on that. You know, Danielle, as a member of the Fargo-Moorhead community specifically, I do think it's very important to have these programs available for women and kids that need to have a bit of a helping hand when it comes to escaping, you know, an awful home situation that isn't safe for them.
Yeah, in my talks with Erin over these last few months, you know, one thing she's really stressed is how housing is a really foundational thing. And most people truly do not want, you know, quote unquote, handouts. By the time people are hitting up a domestic violence shelter, that's a very vulnerable time. And these people have really been through a lot.
Housing intersects with almost every other social issue and outcome, from education and healthcare to employment and public safety. And so when people are housed rather than homeless, there's improved physical, mental, and emotional well-being in our communities. And if we remove that platform, I think it endangers our goals as a society. I think HUD's trying to do that a bit, and I think Senator Hovind's advocating and indicating that we need these housing supports in place, not only in North Dakota, but across our country.
Yeah, indeed. And with the fight not being over yet, too, it's really good to have folks on the ground in our communities and at higher levels of government who are stepping up to advocate for vulnerable populations. Thanks for all that, Danielle. Now, pivoting a little bit here, I do have one unrelated question. I think I heard you on the phone with the National Weather Service yesterday. That's usually that's not a good thing, right? What's happening this week, as if I didn't know?
Yeah, sorry to report to everyone, we are getting not one, but two snow systems this week, just in time for folks wanting to hit the road for Easter and a long weekend. So I talked to Jason Anglin at the National Weather Service office in Bismarck about that. The first snow event is beginning today and ending tomorrow, looking at up to 6 inches of snow in the south and 1 to 3 inches in the north. And then even more fun is in store for us this weekend.
Doesn't look like to be too long of a break, maybe like Thursday evening. Then the next system does come again, kind of skirts across the southern half of the state Friday into Saturday. And with that system, maybe a little bit higher accumulations, looking about 1 to 4 inches in the north and 4 to maybe 8 inches in the south.
Oh, man, I know we're not really safe from these snow events, even in the spring. I don't know. Maybe we'll be okay by the 4th of July. Who knows? America's 250th birthday in Medora with a snow squall? Yeah, that sounds like fun. Put that on a postcard, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we always have a little bit of a false sense of security in the spring, but hey, a glass half full thing, at least there's no floods in the forecast on the horizon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Jason Anglin did say this snow is probably going to be a bit wetter and heavier, so take some care if you are shoveling. And if you're traveling, it's good to stay on top of the weather forecast. Check out the ND Roads app, too, for road conditions.
You know, if you're vulnerable to heart attack snow, just hire some kids in the neighborhood. Just saying, okay? We can handle this. We've handled a lot worse. What else is happening in the headlines this week, Danielle?
So, North Dakota State University has a new president, Dr. Marshall Stewart. He will be assuming the position at the end of May. Bismarck State College also will have a new president, former Public Service Commissioner Brian Kalk.
It's a revolving door of people up there in retirement level. You're hoping they don't all go at once.
And we had a neat story this week from the Upper Midwest Newsroom about a shortage of firefighters in rural Minnesota communities.
Yeah, that was a really good story for sure. And Danielle, so was your conversation with your bestie in college roommate,
yeah,
who is living with cystic fibrosis and has successfully for a year. I mean, I should say successfully. She had a lot of struggle with it, but she had a double lung transplant.
Yes. April is Donate Life Month, and I was just really honored that she was, you know, agreeable to coming in and talking about that and spreading awareness.
To inappropriately quote the Naked Gun, it's never too late to fill out those organ donor cards. Thanks for all that, Danielle.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check out our online newsroom at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that'll do it for us on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.